This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. A little bit later in the hour, we'll be talking about Arctic warming. It is melting up there. But first, kids and chemicals. Last month, the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, announced plans for a study of how children are exposed to chemicals in their homes. Backed by $2 million of funding from the American Chemistry Council, the researchers plan to follow 60 children aged 3 and under in Duval County, Florida. The children would wear sensors to measure levels of chemical exposure from pesticides and household products like cleaning products and flame retardants. And upon completion of the study, parents would receive $970, a camcorder, and some clothing. After the study plans went public, critics, some even within the EPA, concerned about the effects of pesticides on children's health, argued that the study had too many flaws, ethical and scientific, to go off as planned. And this week, the EPA announced that it is delaying the study and sending it for another external independent review prior to implementation. So we'll start the hour by talking with an EPA scientist about this study. What did they hope to learn? How will they go about it? And how they'll address the ethical issues surrounding the study of pesticides in children? And if you'd like to get in on the conversation, our number 1-800-989-8255, 1-800-989-TALK. Dr. Linda Sheldon is a division director in the Office of Research and Development at the Environmental Protection Agency in Research Triangle Park, North Carolina. She joins us from her office. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thank you for having me here.
Thank you. Dr. Alan Lockwood is the co-chair of the Environment and Health Committee at Physicians for Social Responsibility and the chair of the Institutional Review Board at the VA Western New York Healthcare System and professor of neurology and nuclear medicine at University at Buffalo in New York, and he joins us from our NPR studios in Washington. Welcome back to the program.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Pleased to be here.
Dr. Sheldon, can you give us an idea of the intent of the study, why the EPA would like to do this study? What are the questions they want to answer?
Yeah, the overall intent of our study is really to understand what chemicals children can come in contact to in their homes, in their everyday environment, where they live, where they play. What we do is we conduct what we call exposure assessment research. And those are really observational studies of what are the chemicals that are in houses and daycares, and what are the activities that children have that bring us in contact with those chemicals. This is very important research because children may be that group of individuals who is most susceptible to various chemicals as they exist. We are a society that has chemicals.
Yeah, yeah.
And therefore, we really do need to understand, especially for the youngest children, and there is no data for children between the ages of 3 months up to about 2.5 to 3 years.
And how do you intend to find the children to be in the study?
Well, actually, we are going to be working in Duval County down in Jacksonville, Florida. And one of the things about this is that we were really planning on enrolling children only for a 3 to 4 month period. And one of the requirements to be in our study is that the kids are stay-at-home kids. They don't go to daycare.
Right.
And one of the reasons we want to do that is that it's easiest for us to study them in just one environment. And so what we really think we're going to have to do is be able to reach all the children in Duval County who are of a particular age and try to enroll them in our study. We are partnering with the Duval County Health Department, so we will be recruiting in their clinics, but we are also recruiting in hospitals, in baby stores, in maternity shops, in private physicians' offices. We really are casting a wide net throughout Duval County.
Why Duval County?
Well, one of the areas that we are studying is pesticides, and anybody who is from Florida or the Southeast knows that the farther south you go, the more pests and bugs you have, and the more year-round pests and bugs you have. And it's just an area where people use pesticides to control bugs all of the time, and therefore it seemed like a good place for us to be working in our study.
Dr. Lockwood, any problem with this study?
Well, first of all, I think the EPA deserves a lot of credit for trying to fill in an important gap in our knowledge about exposure to a variety of chemicals, particularly pesticides. among children, a very vulnerable group of our population. They're growing quickly. They eat more, they drink more, and they breathe more air per kilogram than we adults do. But the objections to this and the criticisms from physicians and others stems from the fact that pesticides are inherently toxic, and it's not possible to say that there is any completely safe exposure level. There's a variety of things about pesticides. You know, as physicians, we usually encounter pesticide poisonings in an emergency room environment. But now there's also a great deal of evidence that shows that pesticide exposure is a risk factor for the development of Parkinson's disease later in life, including in-home use of pesticides. Experimental studies in laboratories have shown that nerves don't grow properly when exposed to very, very low concentrations of pesticides, probably accounting for observations that have been made among children born to mothers who are exposed to pesticides during pregnancy that show that these kids have lower birth weights, they're shorter, and they have smaller head circumferences.
I didn't hear Dr. Sheldon say they were going to spray the kids with pesticides, though. No, they're not going to
spray them with pesticide. This is not a human dosing study. But they are going to be selecting 90% of the participants in this study from families who report high pesticide use in their environment, whether they're self-applicators or whether they have professionals coming in and doing this.
And what's wrong with that?
Well, I mean, it is important to have these data, but they're going to be looking at a very small segment of society. Mm-hmm. They're going to be looking at people who have potentially pretty high exposures.
Well, don't you want to know about that, about these people?
You do. And part of the criticism that I've seen and some of my own criticism is that they're going to be doing this multiple times. The protocol for the study that's published on the EPA website says that over a period of 2 years, they're going to do this six times, so that there's going to be repeated dosing on the part of the parents or the applicators. Now, in fairness to EPA, they say that if they detect alarmingly high levels of pesticide, they will be intervening and educating these people.
Excuse me, can I
jump in?
A comment?
Dr. Sheldon,
You know, I think that the reasons we are studying young children's exposures are exactly the reasons that Alan just delineated. There are several things about our study that we don't feel that we're providing additional risk to these children. We will be looking for homes that have high usage of pesticides, but those parents would be using those pesticides regardless of whether or not we were there. Now, we're doing several things to ensure that, you know, even if this is the way people were going to do it, if we view that a parent applying pesticides the way they normally apply them would be dangerous to their child, we will be stopping them and giving them information about that. And some of the things that we will be doing, every time we go into a home, we will take a pesticide inventory. We will ask about how they applied it. We will find out if they applied it by the label directions. We'll make sure that the pesticide is in its original container, that it's kept out of the reach of children, that they are not using outdoor registered pesticides. And every time we go in, we will also be telling those parents about a contact number for more training in integrated pest management if they are interested in it. Second thing is that to be in our study, once somebody is enrolled, we will monitor them regardless of whether or not they apply a pesticide in their house again. So, you know, if in fact these people say, well, I'm a high pesticide user, and we have in fact verified that, we will still continue studying them. You know, if they say, well, we don't want to apply any more pesticides, we'll say that's fine. We still want to be studying them. Now, the third thing, which I think is very important, is that we do collect urine samples from these children. And within a week, we will screen those urine samples. And we will have a target level in the urine sample that we will immediately go back to the kids. And that target level is established by looking at what the pesticide is, understanding what its no effect level is in a laboratory animal, and then setting a target that is smaller than that by a factor of 1,000. Mm. So that if there is anything, I mean, the kinds of exposures that Alan was talking about, like when somebody goes into a doctor's office, that is a toxicity level, and that would be much, much higher than we would anticipate seeing.
I think
there's a difference between toxic and safe, though. To go back to one of the first points that I made, I think it's not possible to say that any pesticide level is safe, particularly if you're exposed to it on a daily basis in food, the water you drink, home and agricultural and industrial pesticide applications, that this isn't going to have an adverse effect on health over many decades. EPA specifically prohibits the use of the word safe and its labeling, and appropriately so.
I certainly agree with you. But whether or not, regardless of whether we are conducting this study, people will be applying pesticides in Florida.
Are you trying to determine what a safe level of pesticide use is?
Oh, absolutely not. What we are trying to understand is what levels of pesticide are in the home, what levels children actually become exposed to with pesticide use, and what are the routes and pathways. Is it predominantly food? Is it predominantly through the air you breathe? For a six-month-old who crawls across the floor, licks and sucks everything, is it a matter of the crawling, the contact, the licking, the sucking, those sorts of activities?
But are you looking for the health effects then when you go in?
No, we will not be.
So if someone is showing ill health effects, you won't be tracking that?
We would not be looking for a health effect. If somebody, it's interesting with health effects, and when you say, you know, a health effect of a toxic poisoning, if in fact, I mean, our measures of are you applying the pesticide correctly, have you kept it away from your children, and here's the level we're measuring in your urine, are really a whole lot more sensitive than what you would expect to see if somebody were actually being poisoned by a pesticide.
I'm running out of time. I want to give Dr. Lockwood a last chance to respond.
Well, it would be important to have the exposure information, but it would be equally important to be able to follow an even larger cohort of children from the time of birth to adulthood and determine whether or not these early life exposures result in late life morbidity and mortality.
And Dr. Sheldon, this has been put on hold now till further review?
But can I make one last comment to what Dr. Lockwood was saying? Is that, in fact, that's another point why our study is so important. We're doing extensive monitoring, but once we have our data, we should know what are the critical factors so that in a large EPI study like the National Children's Study, you should be able to ask a few questions, collect a few samples, and do a good approximation of exposure so that you can carry this out into, you know, a very large health effects study. The study has been temporarily put on hold until we have an additional review. We felt that there were so many people who were without a lot of information, who were being very critical of the study, and we felt both for this study and for all future exposure assessment studies.
Dr. Sheldon, I've run out of time.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. We've got the information, and we'll be following the study. And I want to thank you and Dr. Alan Lockwood for joining us this hour. And good luck to you. Dr. Linda Sheldon of the Environmental Protection Agency, Dr. Alan Lockwood, who is a professor of neurology and nuclear medicine at University at Buffalo in New York. Quick break. We're going to come back and switch gears. Stay with us. We'll be right back after the short break.